Hi, everybody, and welcome to Best in Class with Sean Sullivan, coming to you live from Bill Curry Ford Studios in Tampa. This is the NFC South breakdown. Obviously, I did a separate Bucks podcast. If you can catch that at Best in Class on Apple, Podbeam, Joe Bucks Fan. This podcast is going to be on our competitors in the NFC South. We're going to start with Atlanta. But first, let's talk about Memorial Day and what's going on at Bill Curry Ford. So right now, if you're a veteran first responder, active or retired, you will get an additional $1,000 off the advertised price on the internet, which is already below Ford factory pricing. That's correct. 90 days deferred payment, up to 0% depending on the vehicle that you choose, and an additional $1,000 as a first responder. Again, being a third-generation family business open for 65 years, Bill Curry Ford has continued to take care of its community as the community has taken care of us. So I'm very privileged to be the general manager of an amazing store. Again, visit us at BillCurryFord.com. See all of the factory pricing that we have on there. By the way, your trade-in is never worth more than it is right now. So make sure you keep that in mind, as we are paying up to $5,000 over Kelley Blue Book, because there's a shortage of vehicles right now in the used car market. We're looking to buy some. Whether you buy from me or not, I will buy your vehicle and I will give you a check same day. There is no waiting. So there are other companies in the area that do it, some big ones you probably heard. I'm not going to advertise for them, but they make you wait, or they pay you through some type of app. We actually give you a check. You can take it to the bank and deposit it same day. Funds are good same day. That's what you get from a family dealer that's been serving the Tampa community, again, for 65 years. All right. Social media stuff. Follow us with all the social media. I'm not going to go through all the social media stuff, but we have all of them. Please follow us at them. You know, leave reviews. You can email me at bestinclass@billcurryford.com with all your questions. Thank you for all of the feedback from the draft podcast. Also, there was an article written by Joe Bucks Fan about how I had 11 correct on a mock draft. Puts me in very high standing in the country. So I'm very thrilled with that. Thank you for all the positive response and all the emails that came off of that. And then also, positive reviews came, and I appreciate that, at Apple and Podbeam and on Joe Bucks Fan for my breakdown of the Bucks draft. So I appreciate all of the support. I love doing this. I love putting the effort in. Again, this is something of a passion of mine, and I'm looking forward to it. I've been reached out to some agents recently for some Bucks draft picks, and we're considering them, signing them, and that's going to be a lot of fun. We've had several in the past, but I have to make a decision on the difference between being a football fan and being a general manager of the auto dealership. I have to actually make a decision on whether it's in the best interest for our marketing. Right now, we have three players under contract. Martin Gramatica is one. Mike Alstott is another. So first thing we're going to do is we're going to start with the Atlanta Falcons. Since the Atlanta Falcons have been chosen as the team, last year, all I heard was Atlanta, 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 because they signed a broken-down quarterback, was going to beat the Bucs and end our reign of five NFC South championships, by the way. And it's just so interesting to me how a team that doesn't make the playoffs continues to get picked to beat a team that makes the playoffs and wins their division and brings the entire team back and then adds to it again. So this year, again, Atlanta's picked by several big-time names to overtake the Bucs again. And I'm like, where do they get this from? What is with all the love for the Falcons? I don't get it. Lita Kemper doesn't get it. Ira doesn't get it. I don't understand it either, but let's go through their draft. So just for those of you who are listening to Best in Class for the first time, I don't do grades on drafts. They're stupid. You have no idea how good a draft is until the guys get on the field and play. You have no idea. That's why I do my end-of-year draft breakdowns, just because of that reason. So again, we're going to go through who I think are good players that I think are good fits for teams. But other than that, there is no grades. And if I have a very strong opinion on a player, you're going to hear it. And I have some strong opinions on this. Jalen Walker, the linebacker out of Georgia, which was the 15th overall pick in round one. I think that the Falcons were going to pick James Pierce Jr. here because I believe that they believe that Jalen Walker would be taken by the Carolina Panthers. That's where a lot of people thought he was going to go, or right in that area, because of his pass rushing, his ability to play on the line. He can play basically in the 3-4. He can play outside linebacker and inside linebacker in a 4-3. He can be an edge. He's like at that tweener size. I'm interested to see how his pass rush translates. But I mean, everything I see right now, Jalen Walker is a guy that's going to struggle against the run a little bit. He's going to get locked on to offensive tackles a little bit. But other than that, I think he's a very aggressive, strong pass rusher. I think that the Atlanta needed it so bad that they couldn't pass up on him at number 15, and they probably had him slightly higher on their board than James Pierce Jr., and it could be because of character concerns, because Jalen Walker is a guy that was having, from what I understand, great interviews, very well coached. General managers really liked him, so I felt like they kind of changed what Atlanta was going to do. So then that's why I think after they picked him at number 15 overall, they panicked a little bit when they saw that James Pierce Jr., and when I say panic, I don't mean panic as in, oh my gosh, it was panic as positive. It's like, okay, we can add James Pierce Jr. in the same draft. We can do this. So that's what I meant was, I don't think that they had any desire for James Pierce Jr. to fall when he wasn't picked at 26. Now, I think they had him as a top 10 player. And again, James Pierce Jr. got in trouble for allegedly, he had police problems, being pulled over in a vehicle, you know, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I'm not going to get into this guy's personal life, but apparently he did not come off well during interviews to several general managers. He had some off-the-field problems, and a lot of teams took him off the board. I do believe the Bucks took him off the board as well. Atlanta doesn't seem to have any problem taking guys that are good football players, possibly great football players, that have some off-the-field problems, or maybe they're just not good people. I don't know if James Pierce Jr. is a good guy or not. Based upon the stuff where he didn't obey a police officer's order, there could be a lot of reasons for that. It could be how he was raised. It could be past experience. It wasn't like it was a recurring issue like it was with, allegedly was with Mike Green, where it happened at two different times in his life, at two different, between high school and then in college. That's a little bit more of a red flag for me. James Pierce Jr., in my opinion, is one of the best players in this draft on the field. I think he's a phenomenal player. I actually like him better than Jalen Walker. I think as long as he keeps his head on straight and as long as these off-the-field problems aren't going to be a problem, I think James Pierce Jr. makes an amazing impact in the NFL as long as he can stay on the field. I don't know what kind of teammate he is. I didn't get a chance to interview him at the combine. He wasn't available for me to interview. So no idea. But I can tell you right now, if you go back and listen to pass rushers and the best in class, you go back to the library and listen, I will break down James Pierce Jr.'s game and how it applies to the NFL. This guy is going to be a wrecking ball. So to get these two players in the first round is pretty tremendous. Now, what did Atlanta give up to get him at 26? They gave up their second round pick, which is 46th overall, their seventh round pick, which was 242nd, and their first round draft pick next year, which, if they don't make the playoffs, as you know, would be a top 15 pick for the Rams. So really, they gave up a lot to get James Pierce Jr. But again, I think he was their target the entire time. And then Jalen Walker fell to them. He was a little bit higher on their board. They must have been salivating when they said, we're going to get Walker and Pierce in the same draft. As much as I don't like the Falcons, this is tremendous value. Giving up a first round next year, listen, everyone knows that NFL is a now league. You win now. If they did it for a quarterback, nobody would be talking. But what if they already have their quarterback? What if these pass rushers change their defense and change their physical style of play so to the degree that makes them a playoff team? Besides the fact that they gave up a first round next year for a guy that might have off-the-field problems, he might have problems taking coaching, and he might take some plays off, that to me is the biggest risk on this. I think it's a lot to give up. But between Jalen Walker, James Pierce Jr., those are unbelievable picks. In the third round, they came back and got one of my absolute favorite safeties, Xavier Watts, out of Notre Dame at pick 96. Now, Benjamin Morrison, who was drafted by the Bucks, we had a long conversation about him. And he, one of his favorite best friends in the entire world is Xavier Watts. Now, he said that he was an amazing safety and wanted the Bucks to draft him. And again, that didn't play into how the Bucks were going to draft a safety. But Atlanta getting him, they got an amazing safety in Xavier Watts. He was absolutely, if you go back and listen to Best in Class, I had him extremely highly rated. I had him rated higher than third round. I had him rated higher than a lot of pundits had him, just because I think that he is technically probably one of the top safeties in this draft, bar none. The guy can play, and the guy can get turnovers. So in their first three picks, they pick possibly two 10-sack guys and a starting safety. I can't really knock that. I have to say, based on the players they're drafting, they're going after some serious talent. With these three players, they really, really added some serious talent. Now, in the fourth round, they came back and got, and this is number 118 overall, Billy Bowman Jr. He was a defensive back out of Oklahoma. I'm not as high on him as a lot of people are. I think he played free safety. He played corner. He played some linebacker. This isn't like one of those guys that can do everything, but what is he going to do in the NFL, and what does he do the best? I think it's good value, I think, in the round they got him. I'm just not as high on him as these other guys are. And then they didn't have any other picks, with a seventh-round pick in Jack Nelson, who's an offensive tackle out of Wisconsin, who's basically just a depth piece. I don't think that he's going to add much to them this year. But again, their top three players, and I know how a lot of pundits are talking about Bowman being, okay, whatever. I don't see it. I don't see him being an impact player this year. But getting two amazing college pass rushers. These are guys with college production. This isn't projected. This is obtained. They did it at top schools in college football, and they did it for multiple years. So, again, you can't knock that. And they came back and got a class act in Xavier Watts out of Notre Dame. So, to me, it was a really terrific draft for Atlanta. And I've heard this draft was desperate. I've heard they gave too much up for a question mark at pass rush. I've heard all of the pundits talk about it. They added three terrific players to their roster, period. Just like last year when they drafted Penix, and everybody said, what on earth are they doing drafting Penix when they just signed Kirk Cousins to all this money? And I'm like thinking to myself, because you can't pass up on a potential franchise quarterback. And Penix is that. I believe that Penix is going to be a franchise quarterback for the Atlanta Falcons. And I believe very strongly that as long as Pierce Jr. doesn't have off-the-field problems and is coachable, that he's going to have an impact in the NFL. Moving on to the Carolina Panthers. So shocked the world, I think, and not with their head coach being that he's an offensive head coach, but at number eight, they drafted Arizona wide receiver Teteroa McMillan, T-Mac. This is a guy that's been compared to Mike Evans, which I think is a terrible comparison. I don't care about their height and weight. Mike Evans is a better receiver, and he's also faster, right? He's a Hall of Fame, first ballot Hall of Famer. Please stop comparing rookies to Hall of Fame players. But anyway, getting back to this, I heard all of the press conferences where they discussed how he and Leggett, which was last year's first round draft pick, were going to be able to give Bryce Young some major upgrade at talent. And then you add in Adam Thielen, and then you got some really good wide receivers. So it looks to me like their head coach is trying to build kind of a Mike Evans, Chris Godwin type feel in Carolina to run his offense. And I can't really blame him for that. I think eight is high for T-Mac. I think that when you watch his tape, and if you listen to the wide receiver breakdown that I did on his receivers, the one thing that people are overlooking is not his hands. He's terrific. He can high point the ball. He really tracks the ball well. But if you watch film, the defender is always on top of him, and he makes these amazing catches, okay? And then if you really pay attention, though, why is the defensive back always so close to him in his routes? Why is the defensive back always draped over him? I think that he doesn't have the long speed that people think he's going to have. And I don't think he has the super burst off the line. Now, can he high point the ball? Is he going to be a red zone monster? Yes, I believe that he's going to be a terrific red zone target. I think that's where Carolina really struggled last year in the red zone, is scoring points. And Bryce Young, as you know, is an accurate passer at that 15-yard level. He is a terrible long ball thrower. And I think what they were doing is, and again, there's a lot of reasons why he's a bad long ball thrower. And I'll just give you a couple. It's his size, right? He struggles to see over the offensive line, to see down the field. He has to really project his balls down the field where a player is going to be. But he can't really see with accuracy because he has physical limitations. That's part of the game. That's why he rolls out and he tries to throw. Very similar to Baker Mayfield, although Baker Mayfield is much bigger. That's not going to fix. This gentleman gives him a little bit more ability to put some air under the ball, kind of pinpoint it to the end zone, and let this guy go up and beat the defensive back for the ball. And I think that that's maybe what they were thinking. Between him and Xavier Leggett, you got a pretty good combination of guys. Again, pick 8 is a little steep for me, but I believe that if they couldn't have traded down into 10 or 11, maybe 15, and still gotten him. They didn't want to risk it. But Carolina having the 32 ranked defense in the NFL, Steve Itzbitz pointed this out on Joe Bucks Fan. If you have the 32 ranked defense, this pick doesn't really help your team, because you're not going to, with that Carolina offense, you're not going to outscore people. You got to have a defense, and they did go defense later, and they did sign some people in the offseason. So we'll see how much better that defense is, but it's right now it's last, and I think that's why a lot of people, including myself, had them taking a defensive player at pick 8, but we'll see how it goes. I think he's a nice fit for the offense that they're running in Carolina. Their next pick was pick 51, Texas A&M edge Nick Skorton. Now, this gentleman had a huge following as one of the most underrated pass rushers in the draft. And at pick 51, you know, obviously he's better than that. I think he's a solid guy that's going to get positive production as a rookie. I think he's going to step right in and start for Carolina. This was a massive need for them. I think it's terrific value at 51. Obviously, he's a second-round pick, but I think that he could have snuck into the first round. I think he has that kind of talent. So I think he's going to start for Carolina for a very long time. I think between – if you knew you were going to get Nick Skorton in the second round, then the T-Mac pick looks a lot better. But I don't think they knew that at the time. Pick 77, they picked another edge in Princely. And I'm not going to try to pronounce his last name. I struggled with it before, but he is the Ole Miss pass rusher. He's a guy that was linked to the Bucs several times as a pass rusher. Again, they doubled up on him. I think that he's more of a developmental guy in the third round. I think that he is a scheme fit for what they're trying to do, but maybe for me, he's not to the level of, say, Nick Skorton is. But I think that between those two guys being on the field, they're going to get better. Pick 111 is a very underrated running back in Trevor Entian out of Georgia. Now, Entian started his career with Florida as a 5-star recruit. I thought he played extremely well for Florida. And then, obviously, Florida went to a 3-back system, and Trevor really wanted the carries for himself. So he didn't want to split carries with anybody. So he transferred to Georgia and had a very good career with Georgia. I think he could have been a lot better. He had some injuries that weren't really great. But now, last year's top pick, I think it was a second-round draft pick last year out of Texas, Jonathan Brooks, who I love, by the way, at running back, had a second ACL injury. He's going to miss the whole 2025 year. Injuries are part of it. Chuba Hubbard is another guy that's been a staple in Carolina. And then they signed Rico Dowdle from the Dallas Cowboys. So if you look at it, Entian has a chance to win the starting job in Carolina, and he can catch the ball. Something that a lot of people don't know is he didn't really do that as much, but he's got terrific hands, and he's got some wiggle to him. I think he's very underrated. A lot of pundits don't had him as like a late running back pick, maybe 5th, 6th, 7th round, maybe as a free agent. And I'm like, where do they get this from? This is a guy that had production against NFL talent his entire career. I'm not saying he's a superstar, but he's definitely a serviceable starter in the NFL. At pick 122, Ohio State safety, Lantham Ransom, terrific safety, very well coached, terrific defense, can play box safety. I think he's terrific against the run, not as terrific in, obviously, pass coverage, but he can intercept the ball. He has terrific hands. He's a physical player. I really do like that. So they added two edges, and then they come back and get a safety in Ransom. That's a really terrific stuff for Carolina. Pick 140, they pick nose tackle Cam Jackson out of Florida, a run-stopping guy on the defensive line. Pick 163, Notre Dame tight end Mitchell Evans. Mitchell Evans had a terrific career at Notre Dame, and I think this guy has a chance to be special. And at pick 163, I think, is a steal. At pick 208, Colorado wide receiver Jimmy Horn Jr., which was a favorite receiver of Shedeur Sanders, which is really interesting. I think he had some very big impact games for Colorado, and I also think he has some return ability. So I think getting him at pick 208 makes a lot of sense with the new kickoff rules, and I think that's what Carolina was thinking about. But reviewing their draft, they got a lot of solid players. They got a starting wide receiver, two starting edges, a starting safety, possibly a starting running back. They got depth with Cam Jackson at defensive tackle. I believe they might have found a gem in Notre Dame tight end Mitchell Evans. It's possible that he could even start for them, and Jimmy Horn adds depth to the special team. So far, I can't really say that the draft picks for the NFC South have been bad. I believe that Atlanta and Carolina added some major depth and some major impact players. Moving on to the Saints, who I hate, who I wish their franchise would get canceled by the NFL. I think they should all lose their jobs. I think that no professional sports should be played in New Orleans. It's a terrible city, terrible people. But anyway, I have to go through it. So here's the Saints. First round draft pick, Calvin Banks Jr., offensive tackle out of Texas at number 9. I understand why they went offensive line here. A lot of people had him going quarterback. And we'll talk about their quarterback that they drafted. Obviously, I believe they knew Derek Carr was retiring before the draft. I don't think it was a surprise to them. I believe they had conversations with him because you have to have conversations about contracts and how to settle contracts. I don't think you just go, hey, today I'm going to retire after the draft. And they're like, oh, we were shocked. I don't think that happened. I think everybody knew what was going on except for the fans. Calvin Banks Jr. to me is not a starting left tackle in the NFL. So drafting a possible guard, I think he's going to be an inside player in the NFL. I think that's what's going to happen. Picking at number 9, I think is a little rich. He's a guy that moved up the boards late in the draft, a guy that did really well at the combine. I always get worried about players when the season ends, where they're ranked, and then what changes. There's no more film to watch. There's no more games to play, but somehow in underwear stuff, they move up the board. Right, and that's basically what Calvin Banks did. Number 9 again, I think, is rich. Now going into round 2, at pick number 40, they picked Tyler Shough out of the QB out of Louisville. 26 years old, tons of college production. I think he has a strong enough arm to be successful in the NFL. There's just so much division on him as a player. I don't really care about his age. If the guy was 30 years old and he can play, who cares, right? Baker Mayfield's is it going to be 30 or 29 this year? We're not going, okay, he's over the hill. In the second round, who cares how old a player is? I'm sorry, I just don't care. If the guy can play games and start for you right away, that's going to be really interesting. I think he goes into this season with a chance to start and be their future QB. We'll see. So far, everything I'm reading on him is he's had an extremely good rookie minicamp, and a lot of people are really high. If you didn't watch him get drafted, it's a really interesting video. I really liked how his family supported him, his coaches support him. This guy's a high-character guy. How he ended up in New Orleans, I have no idea. Maybe he'll rub off on some of these people because they're all bad people. They all belong in jail. Maybe this is a guy that can, you know, I don't know, preach to them a little bit, make them better people. Who knows? But I don't wish him any goodwill. I hope the Saints go 0-17 this year. So there you go. In round 3, pick 71, Vernon Broughton, defensive tackle out of Texas. Massive run-stopping guy. That's what you put him in there for. He's going to be very tough to run on. Texas had some massive beef at the defensive tackle position. New Orleans really suffered against the run. They needed some help there, and they got that in Broughton. At round 3, pick number 93, Jonas Sanker, safety, Virginia. Very solid player, third-round player. I think he can start in the NFL. Technically savvy, can intercept the ball, can play in a wide range of defensive schemes. Solid pick. I like Sanker a lot, actually. Pick 112, Danny Stutzman, the linebacker out of Oklahoma. Again, to me, he's a backup linebacker in the NFL who can play the run. Pick 131, Quincy Riley, QB out of Louisville. Some people had him much higher. They had Riley as a third to possibly a second-round draft pick. He fell to 131. I think for me, I think that he was drafted right where I think his talent level is. Devin Neal, I think, is a sleeper at running back out of Kansas, pick 184. Solid running back pick in round 6. I mean, to get Neal with all of his production, the guy is very difficult to take down. He reminds me of Mark Ingram a lot, who used to play for the Saints, because Neal is always leaning forward. So when you think he gets a 3-yard gain, it's really 3.5. When you think it's 4 yards, it's really 4.5. He really gets like another half yard every single time. The guy has tremendous hands. He's a fighter, plays with a chip on his shoulder. He's too good of a player to go to New Orleans, but he went there. Round 7, pick 248, Maliki Matavio, tight end of UCLA, depth piece, and Fidel Diggs, edge out of Syracuse, is a guy that people had as a UFA. He actually went pick 254 in round 7 as a tryout edge player. I'm glad he got drafted. He seems like a good guy. Again, but they'll ruin him. What if he is a good guy? He'll be a terrible, probably be in prison before he's done playing for New Orleans, but we'll see. But that's their draft. Kevin Banks was a reach. Tyler Shuck was a reach to me, even though I think he has some good tape. Broughton is a defensive stopper. Sanker is a solid safety. The rest to me, besides Devin Neal, were okay players. I think Devin Neal is a steal there for the Saints. So again, that wraps up the NFC South. I hope you enjoyed the breakdown. Please follow us at Bill Curry for Tampa and all the social media sites. Please email me at bestinclass@billcurryford.com with all of your questions, comments. If you have anything you want to talk about specifically in a division, please email me. Thank you for all the comments. Thank you for all of the reviews that I'm getting on Apple. I'm really getting a lot of reviews. Thank you. I'm still at a 5, still have all perfect reviews. So I appreciate that. If you hate me, please don't go and leave me a bad review because I'll find you. No, I'm just kidding. But again, thank you for all the support that you guys give me. I really appreciate it. We're going to break down another NFC division. Very excited about the next one. I'm going to leave it as a secret. All right. I'll see you guys next time.